So this is a Rambam. Rambam Hilchos Purim, right? The Rambam says the following. The Rambam says that when it comes to the four mitzvahs ayayim, right? Four mitzvahs ayayim. One is Kriyas Megillah, of course. Mishloach Manos, right? Matanis Lav Yainim. And Sudas Purim. So the Rambam says that Matanis Lav Yainim supersedes all the other mitzvahs of Purim. He was helping out an Evyayin, his biggest thing. And then he said the following Lashon, if I remember the Lashon correctly. She'ein lecha simcha gedola milisameach leiv almanis yisaymim. There's no greater simcha, says Matanis Lav Yainim, mostly go, those days we identified as almanis yisaymim. There's no greater simcha in the world than mimu sameach almanis and aniyim. The Chayra, Tzadiyak of the Rambam, I'm not saying it's Reb Chaim Brisk Tzadiyak, but I think Tzadiyak, Ein Lecha Davar Gadol, it should say, nothing bigger than no greater mitzvah in the world. No, you ask him, his father, Alam Da Sadaki Torah. That's why we have such wonderful sons. Okay, anyways, so Ein Lecha Simcha Gadola, Yiri Koenig, remember Tony's Belhava. You know, bigger Simcha, why does the Ein Lecha Simcha Gadola? I think the Rambam is saying, really, and it works, or by say, it works. Young people get depressed once in a while. You know, really do. Things are not going the way we want it to go. Old people also get depressed, but young people, I see particularly. The Rambam is saying that the greatest simcha for ourselves is when we be mesameach other people. And it works. The Rambam is saying another, that's saying just, that first simcha is not going in the same person as the second simcha. The second simcha is mesameach, but here too, I'm manis lev yainim. There's no greater simcha for yourself. It's so true. I find when today, Baruch Hashem, financially, the yeshiva is in a better footing than it was years ago. But when you get the payroll day, you don't have the money to pay the payroll, right? You have a problem. Go out and help another person. When you help another person, I think that could be the greatest refuah in the world. You feel better. I tell this to Baruch Hashem all the time. You feel much, much better when you go out and you help somebody else. That's the Rambam saying. Ein lecha simcha gedola for yourself. When you want to ask somebody else, think about it, everybody. So think about it. So the Rambam says that. Rambam also says again, this is at the very end of Hilchos Megillah. This halacha in the Hilchos Megillah. Rambam says in the Hilchos Yom Tov. The Rambam says, he says that we all know the din of Chetzil Hashem and Chetzil Lachem on Yom Tov, right? There are some people that are basikin, you know, that are basikin on Yom Tov. Now, community, Chase Yeshiva, that are basikin on Yom Tov. They learn straight through till 1 o'clock, approximately half the day. And then they go home and they eat. Because Chetzil Hashem and Chetzil Lachem, you learn a half a day, you daven half a day, you learn half a day. I mean, davening and learning half a day, and then you go off and you... Rambam says, but with all that, if you don't invite guests, and you don't bring people into your house and give them, he calls it a Simchas HaKeres. And he should say, a belly yantif. It's your own keres. It doesn't give you chiyus. A person wants chiyus, really, you're learning yeshiva. You go over to a bracha, you don't have to go out on the streets. The bracha is having a hard time. You mechazik him. There's a young man in our yeshiva. Say his name. His name is Avrami Waxman. Avrami Waxman is married to Malkiel Cutler's daughter. He had huge siyat tishmaya. He learned yeshiva all the years. Left 1 year before he went there to Israel. He went to Patterson for 1 year. But anyways, I asked him once on Purim. He's a very modest fellow. I asked him once on Purim, where did you get your siyat tishmaya? He's huge. I mean, he was chosen as a son-in-law of the Rosh Yeshiva of Lakewood for that reason, probably because he's very big. Remember when I read the Shidduch to him through Malkiel Cutler, I said, I have an idea for Shidduch for your daughter. He says, a Dr. Torah guy? You know. I said, yep, we're good. I told him, we're Dr. Torah, not bad at all. And he says, I want to see his Torah. So we publish, last COVID, we had a problem, it's called Eraisa. It's the Likut of, you know, what you want. Every yeshiva has a little bit, you know, a collection of Torah from the Yingalites and the Rebbeim. And so he says, yeah. I said, yeah. I said, Avram living in Lakewood then. I thought, Avram, zip home, get me the four rices the last 4 years. I brought him the four rices. He had a shtickle tear in each one. So I brought it over to him. The next day he calls me up. Not bad. Three of the four shtickles were okay. So I said to him, he was 15 years old when he wrote the first one. He said, maybe Taka. At that time, Avram actually gone to learn Eretz Yisrael. He had gone to learn Eretz Yisrael. He went to learn Eretz Yisrael. And he went to Shom Shechter's yeshiva, and Malkiel went to meet him there to see if this guy's going to be Antaka. You know, Lakewood chose for like sort of skanim that all Lakewood yeshivas should live and be well. Each one chose one person, and he's the one that was chosen by Malkiel Kalt and his family to become a yeshiva of Lakewood one day. I love it because that means Achos Yeshlanu Beis HaMelech. You know, I have a sister there. Anyways, so he calls me up. He says, Reb Yankiv, I spoke to him 3 hours. I couldn't budge him in learning. So I once asked him, how did this happen? You know what he told me? He told me he was a Purim. I would get a little bit tipsy. He wasn't quite. And he says, I found 6 times a day for 5 or 10 minutes, I learned with a weaker boy in Yeshiva. Boys that we knew that weren't that strong. And if I had to choose why, I received Siyata Deshmaya. And he says the simcha that it gave him, not just the fact that he helped out a kid, it gives you simcha. You know, when you do a good deed, you feel wonderful. He says, and that's a refuah. It's really a refuah. And if we all recognize that, besides for our own learning, help somebody else in learning. I once heard from Ramesha said over, Abba Rabba, Lil Maidu Lalamate. Who could say that? A Rosh Hashiva, a Rebbe, right? What about you? What about somebody who's a Bachur learning Yeshiva? You could say, who are you teaching? Lil Maidu Lalamate, who are you teaching? Ah, who are you teaching? But everything we do, we're teaching, says Ramesha. The shoemaker, how he conducts himself in the business, is a Malamate. He's teaching. And he says, Ramesha says, and it lifts you up. It makes you a different person. It picks you up. So it doesn't mean you have to go out of yeshiva to collect money. Well, it must keep me out of give. They just announced it. That's a kimcha the pischa. It's a chiv and everybody to give. But it's much more than that. You lift yourself up. You feel like, and you mamish have a, you have separate kochos to go and do something big. I was talking to Bachram today. There's no greater message in the world. And he had Shalom B'Shalom really does it. And you can't give up. Don't give up. Shraga Feivel Mendelovich was the founder of Teridas High School. It's a remarkable thing. There was only 2 from high schools in the 1920s. One was Reitz. Yeah. Reitz was a from high school founded somewhere in the 1914, I'm not sure. My grandfather, by the way, worked at Fisher University. He did. Very close friends of Rabbi Belkin. And he worked here. And you're shocked. No, he did. He worked there. And yeshiva began somewhere in the early, I think, 19s, somewhere around there. And Taravidas had an elementary school, which was founded by Rabbi Yisrael Belsky's father-in-law, Rabbi Bonnie Belsky was called, but there was no high school. Chaim Linden have high school. RJJ was an old yeshiva in Yisrael, didn't have high school. Taravidas didn't have high school. And Rabbi Shraga Feivel Mendelovich built a high school. No one learned. Reitz was a very small high school. No one learned Pierce High School. They went to public school for high school. And what the reason was, I won't go into that right now. So, Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich went. He came in 1926 to Taravidas. He was a rub. Not a rub. He was really a balabas. He, by the way, insisted on calling himself Mr. He didn't use the name Rabbi. Mr. Mendelowitz. And he was a real chashev yid. And he built Taravidas into the huge institution it became. And a very, very chashev person. And he came in 19. He was in Scranton, Pennsylvania. That's where he lived. Scranton, Pennsylvania. He came to Taravidas and built a high school. And people always said, well, are you kidding? I heard from someone who was there. He said they had a major dinner or something for the school. That there's a medrash, beginning of Bereishis. A very, very beautiful medrash. The medrash says, again, we don't understand these medrashim too well because it's hard, but medrash is collected mostly by Amirayim and people that came out all my mind from then, particularly from the Yerushalmi. And the Medrash says there that Kadosh Baruch, when he decided to create the world, right, he was nimlach, the pamal yeshulay. He discussed it with his people around. Who's around him? Malachim. Who made the Malachim? Hashem. So it's a topic that's hard. But Rashi says it 3 times. Rashi says in Parshas Bereish, Rashi says, Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks like that. He uses a nun. Says, nun means let's us together, not I will with an aleph. He spoke it. He showed it shouldn't mean a kinem, I said Bereishis, whatever. So he asked the question, this is Malachim. Nivra, alone Nivra. Should we create the world or not create the world? So the Malach HaChesed answered on the spot, yes, there'll be a tremendous amount of Chesed in the world. So he asked the Malach HaEmes, should we create the world or not? So the Malach HaEmes responded, no. The world will have much too much Sheker. Whereupon HaKadosh Baruch Hu clipped the wings, whatever this means, clipped the wings of the Malach HaEmes, right? And he fell to the ground. Hado d'ksiv, Eretz, Emes me'eretz tismach. That's one of the Lashanis there over there. The Emes will spurt forward from the ground. Because that's where he fell down to the Malach HaEmes. In fact, of Shraga Feivel, what did the Malach HaEmes do wrong? Hashem asked him, what do you think? Should I create the world or not? Smalach Emes Yentzit, he can't create the world. He's so much sheker. He has to say the Emes, right? His job is Malach Emes. He got to say the Emes, which is the he can't create the world. Guys, this is a Yisrael, you should keep yourself the rest of your life. You're going out to the world. Most of you are 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. He says, the greatest lie in the world, says him, is that it won't work. That's the greatest lie. It won't work. What he was upset about, Kadosh Baruch Hu, was, it'll never work. Wrong. Everything can work. Sitting in this room, there are people that are going to be Rosh Yeshiva. They're going to be doctors, dentists, second best to a doctor. You know, lawyers, mechanchim, rebbeim. You look at yourself now, me? You're kidding? Who would have chalmed? When I went as a Rebbe Torah, Darchi Torah, I chalmed we become a bigger yeshiva. No one does. It became bigger. If you believe, it can be done. When you realize you're not living for yourself, you're living for other people. You all know the introduction. Itzel of Balazhina writes about his father, Reb Chaim Balazhina, that the whole world was created for one thing. Yiddish, you say, it's a health and yenim. The whole world. Take a look at Magdamba. Ritzel to Nefesh HaChaim. Reb Chaim Balazhina. Kol Olam was built only to help other people, not for yourself. And says, but you could do it. You could do anything and everything you want, you could accomplish. And that's what bothered the HaKadosh Baruch Hu when the Malach Emes says it can't work. Someone asked before. It's a problem we have. Somebody asked before the earlier class, we should have served Chomp in the first one too. Okay, anyway, somebody asked, but what about the more modern? I really don't believe in mechitzas. I'm not saying because I'm sitting in NYU and I come from more Haredi yeshiva. And that's not why I'm saying it. Everybody believe it. I have a very close friend. His name is Kalman Epstein. Kalman Epstein, anybody know Shara Terra in Queens? Anybody here? Okay, you learned there Shara Terra? No. You know, you live in Kew Gardens? Whatever else, you know, Herb Kalman, the giant. Kalman is a very big man. He's a very chashuv person. Kalman Epstein was my best friend. We grew up in Williamsburg together, an apartment house, one on top of the other. The only concern he really had was that he was a Dodger fan. I was a Yankee fan, and he actually believed that Duke Snyder was better than Mickey Mantle. It's not shy. I don't know. He called him that. But you know what happened? By the time he was 11, he forgot about Duke Snyder. By the time I was 11, I didn't forget about Mickey Mantle. Okay, so he was chashuv than me. But the Maisa, Kalman Epstein, tells me once a Gemaldiga story. I want you to hear it, really. It's a tremendous story. And this is the answer to the question. Then we'll have questions, okay? Then we'll go back and forth a little bit, okay? I don't want myself to be here. So Kalman Epstein's first wife was very, very sick. He didn't leave his wife. He stayed with her in the hospital, Mount Sinai Hospital, for weeks at a time. The greatest Yom Kippurim that I remember in my life was my mother was the first Meshachov teacher in America. First one. Eight girls in the class in 1939. She came here. She arrived at Erev Yom Kippur, 1939, my mother, to this thing. And she was a wonderful lady, but at the last 10 years of her life, while she taught, she needed someone with her. So I spent five of the last 10 years with her on Yom Kippur, three of them in the hospital, and two of them at home. You know what it's like to sit with a mother and help her daven. I remember how it bothered her. She was the last year already. She was falling asleep while davening. The Manchester Hashiva, the one who started the major movement on Shmir Salash, the Manchester Hashiva, lived down the block from my mother on 46th Street in Borough Park. My mother was so ice mensch after Yom Kippur. His Yankel Cook, Yechav Yiddish to us. Yechav, I guess in the words where I was up to in davening, in Muzin Gain Fragin the Rashiva, we have to go ask the Rosh Hashiva what to do. This is the type of person my mother was. You know, he said, keep your, do your best. What does Hashem want? Do your best. Keep your finger on the place, but I want you, if you could do that on a yantif. I stayed with my mother. So Kalman Epstein told me, he stayed with his wife on Yom Kippur that year. His rabbi was nifted a little bit after Sukkot. And she fell into a deep slumber. He davened next to her bed. And when she fell into a very deep sleep, he says, you know what, now I could sneak out of the room. She wasn't getting up. He knew his wife already. He knew how long she'd be sleeping. He wasn't getting up. I'm going to go to Davin with the shul. There's a very nice chapel there, but there's no rav on Shabbos and Yantif because the rabbanim have jobs in major synagogues and in shuls, right? And so, but Yantif, they're not there. They got to be in their places. So he walks in there. There were 32 people. He told me the number of people that were in that room. 32 people. Everybody was there because of a tzara. A tzara, except for two. Two fellows had kids that day. On Sinai, it's very close, not far from here, by 96th Street. The kids, no, the other way, I'm sorry, yeah. I know where we are here, but well, you know, downtown, more the west side of Manhattan. The kids, So, a little Hasidic Yid, this is the answer. I'm pointing out because the question was asked, but someone's sitting over here. So, for the first session that we had. So, a little Hasidic Yid says, right before Nila, the minig in shuls is that the Rav, when Yeshiva, the Rosh Hashiva speaks, who speaks there before Nila? Rav Shechta, I imagine, no, he's watching the nights. I don't know if he comes down there. What? Could be, whatever, whoever speaks. And can I speak? There's no Rav there. Short guy. Nila said, sure, why not? He gets up shul, he says, why not? Commonly asked the Kasha, I'm not going to get to Kasha and Teretz, about Mount and Terra. I'm leaving that alone for a second. So this fellow said, I want to get up. He says, you know, we're all best friends in here. We're all best friends here. We're all here in the hospital with a father, with a mother, with a brother, with a sister, with a child, Chas V'Shalom. And here in the halls, we get, I know my mother, when my Shver was just before he died, 3 weeks, fellow David Langer in Flatbush, I didn't know him. But the last 3 weeks, I stayed the nights, been there, couldn't be, and I stayed the nights with my Shver, my father-in-law. I stayed next to him, he was in a coma already. You can't leave the hospital, you should, Chas V'Shalom, you can't leave a patient in the hospital sometimes. And not Peseda. And so I stayed there, and I got David Langer for 3 weeks, became my best friend. He was there with his father-in-law. I was there with my mother-in-law. I mean, all secret to walk out in the hall. I talked to him with Shmuz. Till today, we see each other. It's a hug. 3 weeks, best friends. Says Kalman, this guy gets up, and he says, we're all here for that person, all kinds of issues. It's difficult. It's difficult. But we're best friends. We're going to leave here for the better, and he says very often, this little Chassidus sheet says, for the better, or maybe much more for the worse. It stays over and people pass away. And you know what? We're going to go right back to being our petty selves. Lubavitch, YU, Lakewood, Risk, all kinds of Satma. Don't we realize we're really best friends? With Ace Sari here in the hospital, we become best friends. We're going to forget when we leave the hospital. Back to our petty selves, fighting with each other, grabbing with each other. Before he says, can't we make a major commitment here tonight? We walk out of here, we're going to change our home, our hus, love other Jews, be nice to other people. That's the key, Rabbi say. And it was well received in a hospital. And people are there with their sick people, you know what it's like. My mother's in the hospital. By the way, I want to tell you, so nothing that I'm saying now. People say people in a comatose state don't hear anything, right? You ever heard that? You can talk whatever you want. I remember the story now because Erev Pesach. My mother was in the hospital for a very long time. The last time around, she was there for 2.5 months. She passed away right after Pesach. So I took the night shift because during the day, it wasn't that hard. I mean, I didn't sleep as well, obviously, as a recliner next to the bed. During the day, I had to be in yeshiva. So at night, I sat in the recliner. You got to hear this by being careful in front of a chayla. You got to be very, very careful in front of a chayla. So that's why I stayed at night. But I had another rule. If I'm coming to Borough Park in that area, I'm going up to visit my mother. Harval Yavar, I had to be there. So we bake matzahs in the morning. I have a son, Chaim Eiser. Yeah, named to the great Chaim Eiser. And Chaim Eiser was 6 years old at the time. I never took this to my mother. I want him, the memories of my mother should be to him, a child without the vent. All the other pipes and feeding tubes and all that, I never took it. But here I was in the Matzah Bakery, which was on 36th Street then, and now we bake someplace else, 36th Street in Borough Park, and my Maimonides is 48th Street. Mom is very close to each other. So Chaim Eiser, we're going to visit Bobby in the hospital. I came over to her room. I think, my Shahaya, my mother was in a comatose state already then for a month and a half. One more month, she passed away. And we talked, we didn't say anything. We loved our mother. My mother was my both parents. I was a young Yassim. So my mother was everything in the world to us. But I said to my mother, Ma, Chaim Eiser is the Yiddish. Chaim Eiser is here. You know what she did? It hit me those 3 kisses like a bomb. I mean, I was excited. Chaim Eiser, look, Bubby's blowing kisses to you. Gotta be very careful, everybody say, in front of a chayla. Changed my whole mamish attitude. You gotta be very, very careful. Why the name, by the way, I'm going to go for a second, Reb Chaim Eiser, because my mother, her whole life, told the stories about Reb Chaim Eiser. You know, Reb Chaim Eiser had no children. He had one daughter who was 16 years old, was holding, the Welt says, she was holding by becoming a kala to the Briska Rav, no less, to the Briska Rav or Velvel. She got a blood disease. Reb Chaim Eiser, the man who took care of all the doctors, if anybody came, he knew about doctors. He was a genius and a giant, but the nicest man in the world. Listen to an incredible story. Listen to an incredible story. The story is a little bit of a steer. I remember the story now. The story I just told you. She was never, he sat with her by a bed. He stayed with her, only child. He stayed with her behind my eyes. This is what it means, caring about other people. I don't understand the story. When you care for other people, it elevates you. That's the pshat. Reb Chaim Eizer was watching his daughter die. Only child. What you do for other people, you elevate yourself. You feel good. The last day of her life, the doctor came in every day to check her out. Reb Chaim Eizer, because it's news, would walk out of the room. He waited outside. The doctor came out and he said, a couple hours. She's a gossessa. So there, obviously, will she know that I'm sitting with her? He says, no. It's not a steer because she was mamish. Gossessas means it's over. You got to shout even if you're allowed to hold the hand of a guy says, because it could be you're hurrying there. It's all kind of shallow. I'm not going into that right now. So Reb Chaim Eizer heard that. He went into a study. He had shilas from the whole world. My mother once was in his room. The Velt says he wrote with both hands. My mother was in his office a number of times. She didn't see that, but she told me he had three male secretaries. He had a pile of letters in front of him. He'd say to the first secretary, open up Gemara and Bab Metzia. Second secretary, Shalom Kutchim, open up a Gemara Chulin. The third one, right, is the question of Chayshim Mishpat Shaila, whatever it was, and then you go back. He told Bab Metzia, open up a Shulchan Aruch, whatever. And he did three tshuvas at the time and he signed each one. Giant of a man. He started writing feverishly. This is what it means to give for other people. And every guy here could do that for the rest of your lives. Like this is Rami Waxman told me, for the rest of your lives. And he's writing tshuvas feverishly one after the other. My mother knew Reb Chaim Eizer well. So every story I tell from her was 100% true, the stories. I try whatever the sperm that I write to put in really true stories. And he's writing and he said to Rebbe, what are you doing? The last few hours with your child. He wrote 4 to 5 hours, I'm not sure exactly. They told him, Rebbe, that's it. He had to stop writing because he became an Einan. And then for Avul, means for 7 days, so he'll figure it out then. People are waiting for tshuvas. He was busy with his daughter. Piles of letters. No cell phones, guys. Didn't work. Right? Piles of letters. And he's writing because people are waiting for my tshuvas. I don't understand how a guy could leave his only daughter bedside from holding her hand. How someone could leave and write tshuvas? The answer is what I told you before. She didn't know at that point. And he elevated himself. He took himself out of the matzah of Avelis by writing other people. And thinking to himself, people are waiting for my answers. You got to find an answer for that. Whatever profession you're going into, yeah, you got to earn a living. Of course you got to earn a living. But at the same time, realize you want to stay elevated. You can help other people. You really can help other people. I was eating mishpacha this week on the plane yesterday. I read about Dr. Mandelman. You saw the article, guys? No, you read it? Superman, no? I mean,
that's
what?
That's what we said.
Unbelievable. The article, I on the plane, it took a long time. It's fascinating, right? But what do you see? He doesn't get paid for any of that stuff. I don't understand that he spends hours and hours as that solar person with mental disease. Right? And he's busy with that. He doesn't take a penny for it. But you ever see him? Come to the shiur, he's smiling and happy. I think a lot has to do with taking your life and giving it to other people. That what Chaim Balashna, what Ritzel Balashna writes about his father, Oilam and Nivra Elam Shvil, to help people, the Pasuk, it brings the Pasuk. Okay, to help people, Matuka, whatever Balashna uses over there. So I think that's something you could accept upon yourself even now. And it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. I'm thinking. I believe that my mother, Allah Shalom, was a very. She lost her family in Yimach Shemayit at Russia, right? And she lost her husband at a very young age. And she always had a Simchas Achayim in the home. I believe what carried her through was the fact that she was busy helping people in the entire day long. She sent kids to camps. She packed clothing to Israel. She packed. My mother used to go, very interesting. My mother was a Rebbetzin who knew 7 languages in gymnasium and school. Interesting, she didn't learn English, I'm not sure why. She knew Russian, Polish, French, Spanish, Hebrew, Yiddish, and Latin. English she didn't learn. So she was worried that she's becoming a teacher. She arrived at Erev Kippur, and Bishakov started Yisroch HaKsukas. Rebbetzin Kaplan was the founder of the school. And she was very English. There was no problem. They weren't too from in America then, but they knew Yiddish. And she spoke Yiddish to them. Then she went at night, ESL, English is a second language, but she loved helping people. I used to ask her, wow, I'm wandering off here. I used to ask her, Ma, why don't you get married? Second time, we pushed her. Some people have a very hard time with a parent getting married. But we were all married. So she was in her 50s, then early 50s. All married? Yeah, maybe not, when I asked her. You know what she answered me? They read her a certain shidduch, a world-class shidduch, when a G'dayli Abdar. And the people came to present the shidduch to her, and I was there. I walked out in private time with my mother. I came back in, and I said, Ma, what's the shidduch? She told me the shidduch. So I said, Ma, I remember it was, it's a Vel shidduch. It's a world-class shidduch. Why don't you do it, Ma? She said, because I have my life now. Rebellion Brittany, by the way, I shouldn't say it, maybe on tape, but is never, doesn't want to do shidduch because he says he's busy. Comes here to speak, really, Brittany. He comes because he's busy with Klal Yisrael day and night. My mother felt the same way. It gives you a lift when you help people. Interesting thing, so they used to bring to her clothing, which used to ship to Eretz Yisrael. But told us, oh, my mother, we didn't have any money, zero. But she'd take off for your kids first. Don't feel bad for me. I never got a new shirt or slacks in my life. Until I got, you know, later on, I got married, I got a rich guy, drive a nice car, you know. But I never got, we got the hand-me-downs. You want to hear something I'll never forget? Never forget. Ninth grade, so I got to say, it's perfect why you. Where did she get a lot of the clothing from? From the president of the university, Norman Lamb, the Chayna Levracha, right? Mother-in-law. Her name was Mrs. Mailer. That was her name. Dr. Norman Lamb's wife used to visit my mother. She went to Beis Yaakov. Every time, where do you think they shopped? From here, you know where they shopped? In Borough Park. That's where everybody goes. Today they go to Lakewood. I think it's even cheaper there. Whatever it was. So, the hand-me-downs, you know what it said in there? It said Lamb. Because I wore the clothing of Dr. Lamb's kids. Amazing? Wow, that's yichus, no? Anyways, listen to me. And in ninth grade, we didn't have any money, mamish nothing. And a kid says to me from far, he says, ooh, Bandy, you changed your name to Lamb. Ooh, I was ready with a right uppercut. he really wanted to give me gesund. He might make fun of me. But I remember until today, 50 years ago, guys, ninth grade, yeah, something like that. And then my mamish was ready to kill the guy. But you know what? My mother was packing clothing for people. And she, I believe the reason she overcame her grief, I losing her entire family to the Nazis, and my father very young, was because she was busy helping people. She'll live and be well with your wives one day, with your parents. We'll open up the floor to talk a little bit, but you should know that when you help other people, it's the greatest refu in the world. Doesn't take away from your learning. I told you before the story, guy learned 6 times to Harusa. Speak up, guys. No, gentlemen, say something. Come on, no. Nobody. Go ahead.
Can Rabbi talk about how to develop the need of being no single olim chavero, both on like an individual level when you hear about a single person's tzara, and also on a more klal level, like on a klal yisrael level when you hear about the tzara?
It's years of musar. Years and years of musar. Musar, we believe, your world and our world we come from the Torah world, right? Musar, you got to learn musar. Not a lot, 50 minutes a day. 50 minutes a day. That Hakdama, again, Reb Sovalajan, to hear. It's very hard to develop a midah. Yisro Salanta used to say, it's easier to finish Shas than change one midah. Yisro Salanta used to say that. Easier to finish Shas, change one midah. He was the greatest Balmidas that there was in his time. Greatest, you know, certainly one of the greatest, right? So I think it's years and years of working on yourself. You really have. And putting yourself to the back seat and putting the other guy in the front seat. And it's not easy. It's not easy. So go to Shiloh. If I had the answer, boy, you'd be standing online to talk to me. I'd charge you and I'd give you the answer. It'd be wonderful. I can get rich. But I don't have the answer. I think it's years and years of Musa. And maybe following, I had a Rebbe, Shmuel Birnbaum. Shmuel Birnbaum was maybe the biggest masvid in America. Didn't stop learning. He kept better storm than us in Yeshiva. He was there for davening every morning. The entire first Seder, we walked in at 9:30. He was by the door. Yeah, you coming late? He was there on time. Gave shiur, went home for lunch, was back first 3:30 for second Seder. Yet, you know, he did the last Yom Kippur of his life. This is his life. He left Yeshiva after Shacharis. What's the biggest mitzvah of Yom Kippur? No, come on, guys, no. Eating. Rather, come mitzvah to eat. Right? Left straight. I know who he went exactly. I know the person who drove me. He went to a world-renowned Rosh Yeshiva whose wife was very, very sick, and he found out that he stopped giving Yeshiva because he was taking care of his wife. He had no money for a nurse. He walked in there, put $15,000 in cash on the table, 15 years ago. 15 yards, it was recently, 16 years ago. And he says, by the way, you want it before? He's there in B'chaim. Reb Chaim, you had to give the shkir. He handed him the cash and started giving shkir again. From there, he went to Manhattan to visit an Altamira, the ones who were in Europe. Shmuel Birman was an Altamira. And he visited an Altamira in the hospital. He went to, if it was to a mental institution, a bachur that had learned yeshiva, never had a total breakdown, was in the, locked up in a mental hospital. He went to visit him and arrived back. Mincha and Mirishi was always 2:30 Yom Kippur. He arrived back without having eaten a single thing in the last year of his life. Why? It elevated him. Tyre elevates also, no question about it. Tyre elevates maybe more than anything. But when you help other people, so I think doing it and practicing it and learning Musa is really, I think, the most important thing you can do. You can't learn Musa too much, you get depressed. It tells you how you're nothing, you know? So you want to, Nabardic especially, there's two ways of Musa. Slabatka said, Godless Adam. Our yeshivas are built like Slabatka. We are special and we have to be special. Nabardic was, you are nothing, you know? And so you've got to be careful what Musa you learn. It shouldn't depress you. But when you learn some Musa, you feel for other people. Best thing you can do, really. Which farm? They're around there. Sadiqim, Sosisharim. All these Chavis Halavis is even maybe better. Certain Bechinas. Okay? No? That's it? Come on. So we'll go to another topic, maybe for a minute.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, good.
Is that Chiyam to always be in Simcha? Is
that we seem to follow? No. Breastov does say that, but I want to tell you something. Chayiv Adon Liyas B'Simcha Tam. You know the song? No? Breastov, but I want to tell you something. I have a lady in my office. I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm a Litvak Deri Deris Baruch Hashem, you know, really. But I will tell you something. Breslov is not. The Welt says, I'm afraid to say it, but I would say the Vilna Gaon's Cherem, that the Brisker Rebbe used to say that the Vilna Gaon's Cherem was only on certain Chassidus. Not saying which ones. But, and so Breslov, I have a lady, Mrs. Abigail Reichman, in the office. I'm saying her name. She takes care. We have stucker funds, a lot of them, so she takes care of it. Zavigal Reichman lost her husband when she was 43 years old. He was 43 years old. He had a heart attack. And she's been almana. She's got to be close to 80 years old today. She was younger than him. She's got to be almana about 40 years. She always, Mishtazai, always has a smile. Not finished yet. Right? She lost a daughter, 24 years old, suddenly. She was still single. She lost a son to Yana Machler, cancer. 46 years old, left over 10 kids. Right? And she lost her grandson, hit by a car or something. She's always smiling. So I think being besimcha, I think Breslov's got something there. They write about it all the time. I actually swallowed and I said to her, I believe that, like, I always ask her for brachas. You want brachas? You ask her for a bracha. A lady like that who went through all the worst things in life. I said, I believe Breslov was able to carry you through. The fact that a person being besimcha, are you b'chuyot? No. Am I besimcha at all times? No. We get depressed with an Irish guyton, right? I think probably if I hear the Yankees lost the World Series or something, right, maybe it bothers me a little bit. That means I'm not simple all the time. That's a stupidity on my part, right? How could you do that? Yeah. Once you get a little, Ray Scheinberg used to come to America, right? Everybody knows that story, and he asked what the Yankees are doing, right? Whatever. So you have it in you. But we hear things, we get a little upset. Things bother us, right? I mean, there's tragedies that we should all live and be well. No tragedies to anybody. As things happen, it's hard to be simple then, right? I think it carried my grandfather through. I'll tell you about my grandfather for a second. You mind? He worked for Sheva University. Then it was called Reitz. Well, this is Reitz, where I am right now. But then it was only Reitz, the whole Sheva University. And my father, his kibbutz avayim, was incredible. I don't know his kibbutz avayim because my grandmother passed away. I was one of the lucky guys in Tarbid Az that had a grandparent. No one had grandparents. All Holocaust survivors, well, who had grandparents? But my grandfather lived in Eretz Yisrael. My father lived for him. He lived for him. He made us write, you know, blue email letters are anymore. Blue email letters, maybe you remember it. Blue, right? And then two flaps. We had to write once a week on both flaps also. Daddy, what should we write about? What you ate today. I mean, it's a lot. Whatever you did. Who's your rabbi? Who's your teacher? Where were your friends? My grandfather came twice. Came three times. He's my son. He surprised my father. When I was born, he surprised my father and he flew in for the bris. He was my son. And then he came in 1956, right? For whatever reason, I don't know exactly. In 61, my first sibling got married and he came into the wedding, right? And his kibbutz av was so incredible. my grandfather, he's at simcha, tremendous simcha. So I'm cutting through to the chase. My father was nifta suddenly. I was in Philadelphia yeshiva 4 weeks. He was nifta suddenly, and 10:30 at night, I talked to my father on the phone, and 11 o'clock, my father already was gone. Next morning, Rabbi Lishvei, Shmuel Kamenetsky, Shmuel Kamenetsky woke me up in the morning. He said, "We got to go to New York. Your father is sick." My father had helped them both build the yeshiva. So they both accompanied me on the trains in those days, guys. And I walked into that 10 to 1, 10 minutes before the Levaya, right? But what was all our worry, all the kids? The Zayd and Eretz Yisrael. My grandfather got married in 1948, the second time, when the state was founded, and he moved to Eretz Yisrael. And he lived there until he was nifted. But in Mayrak, the end of his life, in Eretz Yisrael. And, you know, he had one daughter who died at 2 years old. He waited 11 years for my father. And then, now my father's gone. So I mean, he lost two wives. His second wife had menifta shortly before my father passed away. Right? And we went, well, all the kids, my mother, what did we tell the Zayda? What did we tell him? The Stipler, my grandfather, we have a cousin. Reb Chaim Kanevsky had a sister. Ahuva was her name. Ahuva Berman. I told you, you weren't here. Benders are Bermans. Dr. Ari Berman is my cousin. Billy, his father, Teddy. Whatever, so, but yeah, the husband, remember, the Shleishim, that's why I was here last time. The kids are, so Ahuva Berman married, right, Reb Shleimke Berman. Ahuva was who? Reb Chaim's Kanevsky's sister. And all my grandfather had any shilas, okay, he used to go to Reb Chaim. The kids are, and I'm sorry, he used to go to Stipler, Reb Chaim's father. And we kept calling Reb Shleimke Berman, right, who was again married to our cousin, married to Ahuva, the sister of Chaim Kanevsky. What do we do? Don't tell him to Shleishim Yemarova. It's called Shmur Rechaika. He just got it from Shiva, from his second wife. Shleimke Berman told me that when I visited Eretz Yisrael when I got married in 1972, he was the one who told my Zayda. On the 28th day, he was so climbing the walls, he used to call America. He called America constantly. During the time my father, we didn't know, you know, no man's land. 5 days, you know, the old letters came. And finally, they said, that was to tell him. You know his reaction was? He had godless of a person. He said, it's over. Took off his shoes, sat down. He gave him a little seat to sit on. He said, gather around me. They had then, they wanted to make it as easy as possible for him to absorb. So the doctor said, they asked the nurse, bring faces he was familiar with. You know who was there in the room? Reb Elie Ber Wachfogel, who lived in our block in Williamsburg, where she was our Forsberg Yeshiva. Reb Shimshon Pinkus, you all read his sperm, right? And Reb Avda Pinkus, who just passed away, you go with Shimshi's brother, and people you knew. And he says, not a tear. He sits down before, he says, I want to tell you a story. My father was 3 years old in America. He was 3 years old, and he lost. He was 3 years old. And my father became sick, rheumatic fever. The doctor said, when I gave a talk, he wouldn't live out the year. And look, he lived to 53. And he spoke for a full half hour without shedding a tear. He spoke what it meant to have a son. He had, at that point, 2 grandchildren, right? My sister got married young, so was she very young. She was 17, imagine. Married with Chaim Epstein, so it was a good shidduch. My father wanted the shidduch. So they got married. And you know what? You know what it means to have children and grandchildren? Oh, that's great-grandchildren, I'm sorry. Grandchildren. And he spoke without shedding a tear. When he finished, he said, you know, I gave the proper shidduch v'adah. Yet, megir zichshoin tzuveinim. I'm showing those words. I'm allowed to cry now. He cried. That's the halacha. 7 days. He sat on the shiva. He sat shiva. By the way, conversations sometimes in the base of Havel. The last 9 years, I have a colleague that I walk in, I say, tell me about your father. I thought, you know what happened? Because I went to someone's house for Shiva, and they were discussing the Mets. Major discussion of the Mets are better than, I'm serious. I decide from then and on, I walk in, and I find out such wonderful things about the people who went after. I cover that. Anyway, so my grandfather, after half hour, he cried. He said, I'm going to America, take care of my grandchildren. We were all young, and he moved to America. He was fully besimcha. I find it's hard to always be besimcha. Of course, it can't be always besimcha. I keep looking for the question. It's very, very difficult. But if you try to be besimcha, if you try, and the answer is how to do it, help other people. I really believe that very strongly. When you help another person, ain't the chasimcha gedayla, the simcha of helping almanis and yisraim. So I think it's a refuah, it's a big refuah. And every chance we have, we should do that, we'll feel a lot better. Okay, guys, that's it. Hang it up, go back to Far Rockaway, you know? Yeah, go ahead.
How should a person know if they should go to chinuch?
You have to have a cheshek for it, like any other job. How does a guy who wants to become a doctor know? Huh?
Father's a doctor.
Your father's a doctor.
No, father,
no, how do you know? You know, because you feel you want to do. Doctors mostly want to do for others. Years ago, you made money. You don't make money anymore today. So if you want it for a doctor, maybe he's a surgeon, maybe, but the rest of it. But you know, you want to be a doctor. Dentists? Oh, no. They can't make it through medical school. They become dentists. Oh, sorry. Any dentist children there? Oh, you're out. Yeah, you. Okay, sorry. Sorry. That's the other fact. Podiatrist, forget about it, you know. It's, I can't say Mr. Kielsen, I'm chairman of the board, Zangin, as a brother who was a podiatrist. But Lamaisa, you know when you want to be, you know, there are people out there who go into podiatry. You know why? No emergencies. Really. They don't want to work in hospitals, the doctors, it's a dentist the same, by the way. A lot of people. So I'm just commuting around. But Lamaisa, how do you know do any other job? How do you know? If you have a cheshek, you enjoy learning, right? And you see it. I knew, you know when? When my father was enough to interesting, I came back to New York. My brother-in-law, Reb Chaim Epstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who lived in Barapak at Yeshiva there, Zecher Melech, decided, Yankel Bender, I'm staying home with my mother. Before I was in Harvard, Philadelphia was considered. I came home, I traveled the subways for 8 years. It wasn't easy to be happy on the subways. In the morning and the night, I came home 11 o'clock at night. I came home 11:15, my mother was a survivor. Yankel, I almost called the police. She was nervous. I was home those 8 years, and I was looking for something. I became a Pirchei leader. I used to have Pirche groups years ago, and I saw I enjoyed teaching kids. Really, I was a counselor in camp, so I picked up on these things. But you can find out. So it's not just a Rebbe or a Rav, whatever it is. You have a cheshek to that particular job, like any other profession, I believe. All right? Anything else? They told me 30 to 40 minutes. That's it. So I'm behaving. Go ahead, yeah.
I believe Rebbe was talking about the great principle of loving every Jew. And how to give the mice of like how like it's very easy like when you're in sorrow to love every Jew, but then you all the times revert. How do you build like a lasting sense of like no matter what another Jew does or thinks, even if it's
I think the same question was asked before. Similar question. Yeah. Really similar question is to really learn Musar. And I'll tell you what, you do it once or twice, you'll love it. You do chesed once or twice, you really feel good about it. And you really feel good. And the chesed gedola. I think that's the key. Practice it. Just do it even if you don't love it. Do it something. I want to tell you a story. There was a man around the corner from my house. Lord, you know him. His name was Hermann Carroll. Old Frankfurter Yid from Germany. It hit me 1 year. Pesach, you know, Pesach, you go to shul. Kids are excited, right? They're coming with their new suits. Nothing's torn yet. Everything's wonderful. They're excited. They're going home to ask all the questions, right? And it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. And davening ended. Mr. Carroll had the children. He had one daughter who was not well emotionally and died at 35 years old. And we were walking right behind him. I said to my kids, I said, you know, everybody's jumping for joy. They're going home. They're going to have a Seder. Seder's wonderful, right? Mr. Caro, I said to the kids, it hit me. Why did it take me so long? I don't know. I said, let's walk him home tonight. So I started walking. Mr. Caro lived around the corner. I walked him home. From then on, came out, and we saw he was so appreciative. I just suggested to my kids, he's going home with nobody. To his wife, the 1 year COVID that I couldn't go away, you know, us old people, they locked us up in our houses, right? We couldn't go out of the house. So my kids couldn't come for this dharm, right? I didn't go to them. They made the COVID thing. So I remember, I wasn't lonely. I had my wife, who I love. I had no problem, but it wasn't the same as having your children around, right? Pesach is the children's. So I walked him home. Kamat, till he passed away about 5 years later, I don't think we ever went shul didn't walk him home. He was so excited by it. What was I doing? Walking him home to an empty house again to his wife, right? You do it once, it elevates you. You feel good about it. Just do it. Even though it might even hurt you, do it. Then you see it'll work. Really will work. All right? Okay? Thank you for inviting me. It's wonderful. And enjoy your chomp. Huh? I'm sorry.
How would a Rebbe advise one relate to like friends or peers that are at like a different place in their Lord's Hashem than them?
So what? If they're higher than you, of course it'll go on to them. Maybe someone will rub off on you. If they're lower than you, okay, so go help them. What's a Shiloh? What's a mechanech? A mechanech helps people who are lower than them. Well, it's a shiloh. I told this story about before about my friend Rav Kalman Epstein, right? What does he said? Come on, so what? He was a simple Jew. Kalman Epstein's a goyin. He listened to the speech and had an effect on him. He relate by attaching yourself to somebody. It's great. It's the greatest ramish. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Have a wonderful night. Hatzlach and brach, everybody. You going to the final? I have finals yet. Run up, face later on. Matzliach, everybody. Kol tov. Thank you.